I would like to look at two Rambans in Parshas Miketz. The first one is in Perek Membeis Pasuk Chaf Aleph. This Pasuk captures and embodies the concept of vidui, confession of sin, aval ashemim anachnu, and it should be seen in, number one, the context of the psukim when the brothers appear before Yosef. He is very harsh with them, recognizing them, he puts them into jail for 3 days. And this pasuk should also be placed in the context of Hanukkah, because we read this parsha this year, Miketz, on Hanukkah. Both the episode, this drama that reaches perhaps its most profound moment in the formulation, in the recitation of Vidui on the part of the brothers, and in its connection to Hanukkah, both really reflect the concept of tshuva. Tshuva is central, of course, to Mechiras Yosef and to Hanukkah as well. Hanukkah came about at a time in which the Jewish people were splintered into various factions. There was infighting, and the uprising of the Chashmonaim, the success of Matisyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol, and the great miracles that occurred at the time of the victory against the Greeks, these were all meant to bring the Jewish people together, and it was a great moment of tshuva. Let's read the pasuk carefully, as the Ramban does, and see if we could, on our own almost, appreciate what bothers the Ramban about this pasuk, about this vidui, the confession of the brothers. Vayomru ish elachiv, aval ashemim anachnu alachenu asher ra'inu tzaras nafshenu bischanano eilenu velo shamanu. Alkein boi leinu atzora zos. The tzora, the onesh, the punishment, is recognized by the brothers, number one, as a divine punishment. This is not happenstance. And number two, they identify it as punishment for Mechiras Yosef, that great avera. But let's read the pasuk carefully. Is it really true that they are reciting vidui in confession for Mechiras Yosef? A careful reading of the pasuk indicates that the vidui is for something else, not precisely for the Mechira, not for the intent and the original plan of the brothers to kill Yosef, nor for the act of selling him, which was their final conclusion, but rather asher ra'inu tzaras nafsho bischanano eilenu. We were callous and unimpressed, no compassion for our brother, our flesh and blood, who was petitioning, who was begging us, and we turned away. We didn't hear his pleas. Al kein boi leinu atzora zos. Says the Ramban, asher ra'inu tzoras nafsho bischanano eilenu, choshvu lehem ha'achzorius. They pinpointed their callousness, their cruelty. Li'onesh gadol yoser men ha'mechira. What was the source, what was the cause for this punishment? This tzara that they're undergoing now, it's the achzorius, it's the cruelty. Above and beyond the act of mechira. So the Ramban is bothered. Why is it that in this act of vidui, the mechir itself, as we identify it as the primary sin, it goes down in all of Jewish annals of history as mechiras Yosef, a sin that will plague the Jewish people throughout the generations, and that is omitted from the vidui. What we find here is Ashemim anachnu alachinu asher ra'inu tzaras nafsho. We were aware of his suffering at that moment. Bischanano elenu. And we turned the deaf ear. Alkein ba elenu hatzaras. So says the Ramban, choshvulem achzorius. When they had to decide what is it that they did or didn't do, that was the origin and the cause for this punishment, this tzara that they're experiencing now, they identified the achzarius, Yoser min mechira. The punishment, and it's a great one, is going to be related to the achzarius. And the Ramban elaborates on this achzarius. Ki hoya acheyem bisaram. He, Yosef, is their brother, their flesh and blood, mischanein umisnapel lifneim. He begs, he throws himself at their feet, v'lo yirachamu, and there's no compassion on their part. The Ramban continues, v'akosav lo siper zesham, in the original testimony, back in Parshas Vayeshev of the Mechir itself, not a word, not a whisper about the Achzorius, about Yosef's petitioning and begging his brothers to have compassion on them. And the Ramban offers a number of explanations for this. Perhaps the most profound of which, Sheyirza Akosav Lekatzer B'sarchonom, the Torah, so to speak, couldn't get itself, or herself, to delineate, to enumerate in great detail this aspect of their sin. The Torah, therefore, in a sense, abridges the story of their sin and omits this very, very central piece of the puzzle of the episode of Mechiras Yosef, the sin of Mechiras Yosef, namely the Achzorius. It's omitted, but it's mentioned here in the Vidui as part of the tshuva process. You'll see on your page the Ksav Sofer. He offers his own interpretation, his own answer to the Ramban's question. And he bases himself on the statement in Chazal, Hamachti, Godol Hamachti, Yosef Me'ahargo, to cause a person to sin, and especially if it means to lead him off the path in which now your victim, if you can use that term, will live a life of sin, that's so much worse than just murdering him. If a person dies as an innocent victim, that's tragic in and of itself. But in Hashem and His divine justice, we'll see to it that everything is straightened out when a person dies innocently. But to take a person and cause him to sin, and here the Ksav Sofer divides the story of Yosef into two dimensions. In the original plan to kill Yosef, that would be an act of murder, certainly the most severe crime, but yet there's an even more severe crime, Hamachti, selling Yosef to Mitzrayim. And here the Ksav Sofer quotes statements in Chazal that indicate that when you sell someone into captivity, Bein HaNochrim, amongst the Goyim, in effect you're guaranteeing that he'll be Meshuka Bein HaUmos, V'nitma, with an ayin at the end, V'nitma B'socham, he'll be lost in the nations of the world. The impact of captivity will be so great, so profound, that from a religious, from a Jewish perspective, the captive is no longer recognizable. In the original plan, they wanted to kill him. But at the end, they decided not to murder Yosef. They took him out of the bar that he had thrown him into, but they sold him into slavery, and the worst crime is selling him into slavery. Because what you've done here is you've guaranteed nitma bein anochrim. And at the time of the sale of Yosef to the Goyim, he, Yosef, petitioned, "Beg them, don't sell me." He, Yosef, was sincerely afraid for his own nefesh, for his own spiritual soul, because perhaps he would sin and become guilty of the life of living as a non-Jew. However, says the Ksav Sofer, despite his pleas, the brothers didn't take him seriously. They didn't believe him. They may have had mercy on his body, on his life, therefore they took him out of the bar, saved him and sold him, but they didn't have any mercy on Yosef's soul, on his nefesh. Only now, as a result of the severe punishment, are they awakened to do tshuva, to recite vidui ashemim anachnu. We heard his chananus, his words of petition, of pleading in front of us. We understood that Yosef was claiming that he didn't want to go into captivity amongst the Goyim. His soul would be tainted, would be lost. We didn't listen, say the brothers. They confess. His words, his pleas didn't enter into our ears. Al kein boy leinu atzara zos. And the brothers at this point in time believe that Yosef has completely, if you call it, assimilated into Egyptian society. And therefore they've done him more harm than even murdering him. And it's interesting to see how the Ksav Sofer weaves this into the words of Reuven, "Halo amarti lochem al techtu bayelet." And he interprets it in a very original way. Reuven did not want them to sell Yosef as an Eved. He understood that Godol Amachti, the Aveira of being a Machti, is greater. It supersedes Yosef and Ahargo. And therefore, Shlichos Abora, meaning don't sell him. It would be better if he died in the bar rather than be a Chote Kol Yomav. It's reminiscent of the approach of Chazal to the parasha of a Zolel Vesove, a young child, a rebellious child, a Ben Soru Morer. Chazal say that the Torah demands that he die because death is better for him than anticipating what's going to come at the end. You're the Torah of Daito, to see what sins this rebellious son will be guilty of later on in life. Better that he die early, before he's a sinner. And therefore, Reuven, applying that logic, says, Ishlichos Abora, implying that they should not sell him, that he shouldn't be a Chote Kol Yomov. And therefore, he claims against, at the moment of their vidui, "Halo amarti lechem al techtu bayelet," that they shouldn't be a cause of his chait. Very unique approach to the Ksav Sofer, to the parasha, but we're fascinated by the Ramban. We want to read the Ramban carefully and meticulously and understand the Ramban on a deeper level, and specifically to focus on the Achzorius and that concept. It seems that the Ramban is teaching us that there's a whole new system of onesh here that is a result of Achzorius. And I would introduce our discussion in this Ramban by presenting the following thesis. Many of us, and I don't mean us sitting here today, I mean in general, it's something that's almost cultural in our society, we are what I'd call legalistic. What I mean by legalistic is that our perception, our conception of punishment is completely related to and limited by criminal acts that are legally imply a violation of the law. We judge actions by the letter of the law. And we often justify actions because they're legal. And we pay good money to a lawyer for that. We don't carry with us a barometer of is it right, is it wrong, but rather is it legal or illegal. We'll do things because we can get away with them, justify them, based on their legality in a very formal sense. But I believe that the Torah teaches us that it's not enough, it's not sufficient to live by the word of strict law. And I'd like to give a few examples of this, some of which are not directly relevant to our discussion of Ramban, but I mention them just to introduce this concept that there's more than just the letter of the law. We find in the famous sugya in Gittin, the Agadita of Kamtzu Bar Kamtzu, that the Gemara tells us that as a result of the episode in which Bar Kamtzu was thrown out of the party, the Gemara tells us in Gittin on Daf Nun Vav that Bar Kamtzu created a situation in which Klal Yisrael were led into the Churban, because he went to the Caesar of Rome and he told him that the Jews are rebelling against you. And he proved it to them because he said, send a Karban to the Beis HaMikdash and you'll see that they will refuse to accept that Karban because they are rebelling against you. And what Bar Kamtzu did was, he made a slight incision in the Egel that was sent by Rome to the Beis HaMikdash, and the incision was made in such a way that no one could recognize it. Meaning the Goyim didn't think it would be at all significant. It was Beniv Svasayim. And when the Rabbanan realized what was going on, Sover Rabbanan Lekruve to be Makriv, they thought, let's be Makriv the Karban on the Mizbech, despite the fact that Al Pidin, according to our Jewish law, it's a Mum. And we are enjoined to prescribe from bringing such a Karban. We have to do it Mishum Shalom Malchus. Because otherwise, Bar Kamtzu will have proven his point to the Kesar that the Jewish people are in rebellion. But there was an individual there, we don't know much about him, but the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulis, and he objected, he said, we can't bring this carbon. Yomru, people will think, Bali Mumim, Kravim, Legabim Mizbeach. Now it could be that Rabbi Zecharia, under normal circumstances, was right. Maybe if we read the fine print in the text of the law, after all, how can we bring a carbon balmum on the Mizbeach? But yet as a result, and there's a whole chain of events here in the Gemara Gittin Nun Vav, we're not going to go into it now. The Churban came about on Rabbi Yochanan Venuso, on Vesanuso shall Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulis, Echrivas Beitenu, Vesarvas Echalenu Vigilisinu Vartzenu. The entire chain of tragic, catastrophic events resulted from this Rabbi Zecharia, who didn't allow the Rabbanan to bring the Korban on the Mizbeach. Again, this is Midas Hadin, you know, according to strict law. Perhaps he's right. We often find in Chazal regarding the Churban this phrase, this concept of Hamidu Dineim, al ikar adin, no flexibility, no understanding of the need of the moment. We find something similar again when there's no lefnim mishras hadin, but rather it's din. We find it in the machlokas between Beisil, Beis Shammai, whether it be regarding a person who wanted to hear Kol HaTar Kula when he was standing on one foot, similar thing in case of Meragdim. Beis Shammai rejects the opinion of Beis Hillel of Kalanova Chasuda because the Torah says Midvar Sheket Terchak. There's no room for Lifnim Mishras Hadin. I mentioned these Gemaras in passing. It's not really what I want to discuss with you, but it really does convey the point that we live in a legalistic world and we're trapped by legality. But what I'm more interested in is the flip side. And that is not, we should be lenient with the law. That's a different schmooze. That's a different shia. When can we be lenient with the law and allow a palmum to be karev al gavim mizbeach for the sake of shalom malchus? Under what circumstances can we be flexible about changing the truth, altering the truth for the sake of the kala and shalom bayis and things of that sort? That's a fascinating sugya unto itself and very important one. But that's not my sugya today. I understand today that the bare minimum is we have to be machmir, we have to be strict, as the Torah demands us to, within the context of averus. And I'm not here to in any way try to permit anything that's awesome. On the contrary, what I want to suggest is that even though you may look at the law and say, well, there's no avera here, that's not sufficient from my perspective. That's just the minimum. That's just the baseline. You've got to ask yourself a different question. There's a whole other system of punishment in which perhaps you could you might be able to defend yourself on one legalistic level and say, I'm not worthy of punishment. There's no crime. But you will be punished nevertheless. There's an entirely different source for punishment. And the Torah is teaching us that it's not enough to be lenient in a certain case and allow yourself to do something and behave in a way because you claim it's legal. The Torah demands us that we create a higher standard before we legalize something. We live in a level that supersedes that of law, that goes beyond law. And the Torah calls upon us to develop an intuitive sense of what's right and what's wrong on a moral basis, to create a moral barometer, which should be developed within ourselves, almost like a sixth sense that will guide us and deter us from far away from actions that are inherently detestable. So I'm talking about this is our topic for today. Not Hamidu Divreim Al Din Torah. Not Reb Zachari Ben Rav Kulis. We'll leave that for something else. What we're talking about now is a situation in which you could possibly find the legality, some sort of se'if, you know, some sort of paragraph in the law which would permit you to do something. But nevertheless, it's despicable. It's detestable on a moral basis. Because our morality, in a Jewish sense, goes beyond mishpat. Our compassion has to be our moral barometer, even when something might be legal. And I believe that the source for this concept of an overarching rule and a moral guide is the pasuk in Parshas Vayeschanan Vasisa Yoshev Atov, the way the Ramban understands it there. And you'll see this in the middle of your page. And it's a long Ramban, we won't go through it now, we'll save that for Parshas Vayeschanan, Mirtz Hashem, but what I underlined here is Kimitchila Omar. In the context of those psukim, if you look them up in Parshas Vayeschanan, the Torah opens up Shetishmar Chukosav Ve'edusav Asher Tzivcha the strict regulations and laws, the edus, the chukim. But Atah, now the Torah culminates this parasha. Yomar and tells us, Gam b'asher lo tzivcha, even in those areas where you don't have a definite, specific command, no rule or regulation has been formulated, it's not one of the 613. Nevertheless, says the Rabban, Tein datcha. Those are two critical words. Tein datcha, seriously study, analyze. Lasos hatova yoshev yenov. V'zeu inyan gadol, says the Ramban, I efshal ha'azkir b'tor kol anhagas ha'adam, im shcheinov, v'reyov, v'chol maso, matono, v'tikunei ha'yishuv, v'amedinos kulam. And the Ramban goes on to tell us, by illustrating that there are averis, but we have to read between the lines, we have to find the threads, that the common threads that underlie and combine all these prohibitions in the area of Bein Odom L'chavero, Lo Selech Rachel, Lo Sikom Lo Sita, Lo Saman Al Dam Reacha, Lo Skal Cheresh. So that the Ramban says, Chazar Lomar B'der Klal, V'asisa Yoshva Tov, B'chol Davar. The Torah is not going to exhaust every single case and every single scenario, but rather it's going to give you this gigantic rule, and it's going to warn you that even if you can somehow tiptoe through the tulips, you know, avoid the raindrops of all the different lavim that are written and formulated explicitly by the Torah, and say, well, this action that I'm about to embark upon is not prohibited. Vushtet, where does it say in the Torah? It's not in the Torah, it's not up front, it's not le'edja. But the answer is, it doesn't have to be up front, because we're called upon tein datcha lasal satova yosha b'enav. We have to develop a system by which we understand that even if our actions don't violate any particular paragraph in the law, in the text of the law, nevertheless they have to withstand and they have to succeed to win a different test, and that's the test of Yashar Vatov. You know, recently a young woman wrote an article, and it was published in a college student newspaper. I emphasize the word student. It was published by the students of that college. And as a result of that article, which was lacking in modesty and purity, she wrote about relationships that she had before her marriage. This was published and it disgraced an entire community. Is that right? The answer is, well, don't we believe in freedom of speech? The students will create their own newspapers. But look at the results. You know, it's famous that the Gdolei HaPoskim used to say, many different ones, used to say the same thing, that when somebody asks them a shaila, especially in Bein Odom L'chavero, then since the question, the issue is moral in nature, even before they offer their response, based on halachic sources, they already up front, from the start, feel, they intuit, whether the situation is permissible or not. It's almost like a smell, doshmeknisht, you know. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the father of the movement, of the Muslim movement, you say that there's a mitzvah that precedes all the other mitzvahs of the Torah. And that is, Zaynish Kenar, use your seichel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you seichel. He gave you yashrus. He gave you the ability to understand, to appreciate what's right, what's upright. And I'd like to prove to you that this is so. You know, we have two Isurim, two prohibitions in the Torah that they're somewhat similar, but they're worlds apart. Midvar Sheker Tirchok, the Isur of Sheker, and we have another Isur called Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara applies even when one is telling the truth, but he's saying something disparaging that could literally destroy a person. So somebody might say, well, I'm not lying, I'm just telling you the truth. You know, this is true about so-and-so. So what's your problem? But the answer is the Torah prohibits it. There's no heter for it. And that comes under a separate law of Lashon Hara. And And that's why it's so fascinating to me that this Ramban in Vasis Vayoshatov, right up front, he quotes the pasuk Lo Seilech Rachel Bamecha, because that pasuk and that lav to which the Chafetz Chaim dedicated almost his life, you know, this was his banner, writing the Shmiras HaLashon and the Chafetz Chaim, is the prohibition of Lo Seilech Rachel is meant to engender upon us, within us, penetrate within our souls, a sensitivity that goes beyond the letter of the law. Okay, yeah, you're telling the truth. So what? It's still prohibited with many different averis. And I think we're seeing this over and over again throughout Chazal. And here I want to, at this juncture, prove to you that there is another system of punishment that applies to this area when someone gets involved in an action that's detestable, and his punishment is not so much for the violation itself, and maybe you can justify the violation within the textbook of law and find some sort of loophole, but he's going to suffer punishment simply because it's a terrible thing that he's doing, and the impact and the repercussions make it unacceptable and therefore punishable. And we find such a concept in the parsha of Ir HaNidachas, where the Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, on the pasuk in Dvarim Yud Gimel pasuk Yud Ches, you'll see this all on the bottom of page 2. Tanya Rav Gamliel B'Rebbe Omer V'Nosan L'cho Rachem V'Rihamecha. It says Amarachem Alabrios Merachmin Olav Min Hashamayim. He who has compassion on the other creatures, Hashem will have compassion on him. V'chol she'eino merachim ala brios, eino merachim min olav min shamayim. And on that very pasuk, v'nosan l'cho rachmin v'richamecha, the Arachayim HaKadosh presents in a very detailed way the natural, normal impact. It's almost unavoidable, because it's built into nature, of destroying the Ir HaNidachas, those who are involved in destroying life, even though they're doing it for the sake of the command of Ir HaNidachas. Nevertheless, HaMaisa Zeh, says the Aruch Haim, Yolid Tevach Zorius B'Lev HaAdam. So we see that even when a person is involved in an act that's legal, nevertheless, it could and should, in a natural law, have this impact on a person, in which it uproots him from Rachmanus and makes him into Chasham an Achzori. And therefore the Torah had to give a supernatural, metaphysical blessing, guaranteeing, as it were, that that which is natural and the impact of killing out the people in the Ir HaNidachas would not come to fruition, v'nasan l'cha rachamim, but rather Hashem will see to it, again in this very unnatural way, that you will not become an Achzori, but rather you'll be a Rachamon. We see how actions can lead to Achzorius, even if those actions are justified within the sphere of law. We find, for example, in the case of Pnina, the sister of Hannah, she had very good Kavanos intentions. She would needle into Hannah in order to get her to pray for children, because Hannah was childless. And Chazal tell us that L'shem Shamayim Niskavna, nevertheless, the bottom on page 2, she was punished in a terrible, terrible way. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, in the first chalik of the three chalokim, that's Tovshin Lamed Aleph, I believe, in my version, which is the original version, Pei Aleph, he says, Matzinu b'pnina, Sha'amru Chazal ki l'shem Shamayim niskavna. V'yafal pichein nensha b'ofen chamur. Says Reb Chaim, why the punishment? Everything she did was calculated, was justified. Ki apogea b'chavero yiyu machshavosav asher yiyu hareyu kemachnis yado l'toch tanareish. A person could put his finger, chas v'sholem, into the fire, for whatever reason. He was pushed, he was shoved, he didn't know, he was onus. It doesn't matter, the bottom line is, he'll be burnt. And being pogea by insulting a person and causing them anguish, as Penina did in the case of our sister Chana, is like putting your hand in the fire. All your great kavanas aren't worth a dime, says Reb Chaim. Ein ha-kavana tov yichol l'shanos b'zeh ma'uma ha-sakona bi-averos shebinon l'chaveru kimitzius tivis. Reb Chaim establishes that there's a new sort of punishment system that applies to Beinon L'Chavero. It's not the punishment of a divinely meted out punishment. It's sort of built into the crime. It's the natural impact. And that is what the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says in the case of killing out the Ir HaNidachas. There's a natural consequence, not as a punishment, of creating Achzorius. And again, connected that, the antidote was the divine punishment to change that. The divine, blessing to change that. Let's get back to Yosef and his brothers for one moment. And the question arises, could Yosef have really deserved what the brothers did to him? Could the act of selling Yosef be somehow justified within the legal world? And here we have the famous comment of the Sepharno, who writes that the brothers were absolutely convinced with total clarity that the din was with them, that tzedek, the justice was being fulfilled by destroying Yosef. He commented on the pasuk Vayeshvu lecho lechem, that the brothers, after selling Yosef, sat down to break bread. And he says, lo hoya kol ze beineim takolo michshol, because they didn't see anything unreasonable about what they did. Yosef lerodef, they judged Yosef as a rodef. He was endangering the lives of his brothers. Shekolakodim lahargo zacha. And the law of the rodef is, you put him to death. If you don't have any other option, but if you do, that's a different story. But says the Sfarno, that's why the brothers felt no remorse about the Mechira. I don't know, frankly, I have doubts if the Ramban would accept the Sfarno. The Sfarno was probably three centuries after the Ramban, but be that as it may, the Ramban does shift the emphasis in their vidui, in their tshuva, the brothers' tshuva, from the Mechira over to the Achzorius. Perhaps this is the Ramban l'shitaso, because you may remember that in the Bris Vein HaBesorim, the Ramban, it had a whole presentation, we studied it at great length, V'gam ha'goy asher dananochi, and what was the V'gam? That even though the Mitzvah were fulfilling the will of God in this world, nevertheless they'll be punished for taking it too far, for persecuting the Jew beyond what Hashem wanted. And perhaps we could say that there was a divine will, that the Achim were really vehicles in the divine providence to bring Yosef down to Mitzrayim, and all that would happen in its aftermath. And that too perhaps could have justified the Mechira. But the answer is, we're not dealing here with a vidui over Hilchas Avera, criminal acts. Maybe the Ramban would hold it's not a criminal act, I don't know. But there's something even more despicable that generates its own system of punishment in comparison to the legal Averos and criminal violations as they're formulated in the book. And that is the cruelty that they showed Yosef. After all, Yosef was their flesh and blood. And here is Yosef begging and falling at their feet, and they have no mercy on him. This is something that is so despicable that according to the Ramban, in one of his interpretations, the Torah, the Mikra, could not get itself to relate this piece of the puzzle. To talk about Yosef pleading for his life, we can only close our eyes and shudder and imagine what it was like when Yosef did so. The Torah wanted to be brief, says the Ramban, in describing the sin of the brothers, because this is is above and beyond. This is something that's absolutely detestable. It violates a sense of morality, an intuitive sense, that has to be very, very much a part of us. In Judaism, we distinguish between mishpat and tzedek. And there are many laws that require us to go beyond. And I have to care about the next one in an attitude of live and let live. It's not all about me, myself, and I. The Ramban quotes here, and it's fascinating to me, at the very beginning in Vasisa Vayoshev HaTov, the case of Shechenim. He writes, Kol is nagus ha'adam im shechenov. You know, my wife is an interior designer, so she gets a lot of questions in her work, or issues. People want to expand, you know, build a sukkah porch, build another porch, and the impact that it might have on the other shechenim, on the other neighbors, and very often they, you know, a client of ours might be within the letter of the law, within the bounds of the law, when he or she decides to expand and drill and whatever else is involved. But what about live and let live? What about Vasisa Vayoshev HaTov? This Ramban points out very clearly that Shechina is Nagus Adam im Shechinov, which is so relevant in our lives almost on a daily basis, has to come under the overall, overarching rule of Vasisa Vayoshev HaTov. He gives another fascinating example, the din of Bar Metzra, towards the end of Bat Metzia. That means if Reuven buys land, and that land borders on Shimon's property, how much more beneficial would that land be to Shimon? And therefore Shimon has the right to say to Reuven, do the right thing and buy a piece of land elsewhere. Why do you need this piece of land? This piece of land means and is worth so much to me. So in our behavior, we have to be guided by that light and that sense of morality. And when we shudder as we think and imagine of Yosef and about to be sold by his brothers, about to be sold into slavery, and he's begging and he's beseeching. And I want to make one other comment, and I hope you'll understand me correctly. There's a movement in Israel, and I very much sympathize with that movement, to settle all of Eretz Yisrael. I'm not going to tell you which Ketzel I voted for in the elections, but you can figure it out on your own. But sometimes I feel, and it's a minority, and it creates a disgrace for the majority. There's some people who become so extreme, and their actions display or demonstrate that they have no sense of what's right and what's wrong. They do things that are detestable. It may even come to murder. Pardon my saying, but they do things that have to be objected to. Yes, we have a cause, and yes, we believe in Eretz Yisrael, and we'll do whatever we can. But don't tell me that justifies, you know, doing things that are detestable, and I think when we come back to our original pasuk and we read it through the eyes of the Ramban, when the brothers in their vidui of Al Hashemim Anachdu Al Achenu Ashal Reinu Tzaras Nafsho Bischanu Eileinu V'lo Shamanu V'lo Shamanu V'lo Shamanu, we were callous, we didn't care about his pleading. Choshvulem Achzorius, this Achzorius, this cruelty, La'onish Gadol Yosef and a Mechir, deserves a greater punishment than the Mechir itself. Maybe the Ramban here is indicating the Mechir itself was prohibited, and that's okay. I don't have to buy into the thesis, which seems to be very important to the Samderech, to the Rashiv and Chevron that we respect and love so much, that the Ramban brought into Sepharno's approach. I don't know if that's so. I believe that, you know, the language of Chazal, the piyut, you know, that we say of whether it's on Yom Kippur or on Tisha B'Av about Mechiras Yosef, and all the emphasis on the Mechir itself for a pair of shoes, that would seem to indicate that, and there's no proof otherwise, that the Mechir itself is certainly a terrible action, a terrible violation. But perhaps even worse than that, Onesh Gadol Yosef and Mechir comes for the Achzorius. How can you live such a life? Seichel. Where's the Derech Eretz and the moral guide that's Kadmo LaTorah? That's so profound. We have now another Ramban on Parshas Miketz that I think is very, very wealthy and very kedai to do. But I think we'll take a break and we'll try to come back to this when we have more time.